Are we up?
We're good. We're clear.
We are clear. Everybody take a deep breath. Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show Trade Edition Special.
Can I give you some information right now?
Okay.
Carlo, there's some retention down to about 3.5.
All right.
4.1.
We're live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 360. I don't even know what we're, where are we?
We're on Sportsnet.
We're on Sportsnet?
We're on Sportsnet affiliates all over our great nation.
Wherever they want to put us. We're talking in the mic and they'll put it where they want.
That is.
Just talk like you always do,
bud. That is Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. We are with you for 2 hours. Not on our traditional 4 to 6, but 5 to 7 to give everybody some extra breathing room on a day where we didn't see as many trades as we have in the past. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they get up towards 25, 20, 30. I don't know what we're at now. Maybe under 20.
I don't know, but they're good.
They're a little bit more quality than quantity this year. So, all right. So,
how was your deadline day?
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched it obviously a lot closer because I've been doing a trade board for sportsnet.ca. Mm-hmm. And it's nice when you have dropped names over the last 6 weeks. Yeah. And it's nice to see that you kind of were onto something.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun watching today.
The Rantanen one was particularly, you were one of the first ones on that weeks ago.
The Rantanen one kind of took a life of its own on, and I was able to kind of get wind early in the Colorado days where it was, I think they could trade him.
Yeah.
And it's like you're full of crap. I got a lot of that early.
Yeah. But it did, you know, from Carolina's perspective, it was always one of the options. Like, if he doesn't want to re-sign, they could flip him. That was one of the early things.
I know. But
you just didn't think it would happen.
But you can also say the same thing for Mitch Marner. It was one of the options, but he had a no move, and obviously Rantanen didn't. But you almost had the sense that between Rantanen and Marner and Sam Bennett, they were all going to be kind of, at the very least, their own team's rental.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen. And you almost would have thought there was a better chance that Marner and Bennett could get traded than Rantanen as a Stanley Cup champion and a guy that has run toe-to-toe with McKinnon. I mean,
but Marner's name came up zero times. You know, and that wasn't even a thing. Rantanen's a little bit. The Rantanen thing was fascinating, the way that all shook out. Before we came on air, you sent a tweet, which I can't tell if it was just being incendiary for the sake of baiting our boy Sammy, or if there's any truth to it. May I read it? Hey, Sam McKee.
Yeah, you can read it.
Your Maple Leafs had the best offer on the table for Rantanen today, and the Canes refused to take it. We'll discuss in detail.
We're now this the detail time.
What are you talking about?
I am talking about, okay, for the record.
Yeah.
I got already accused, like, crazy as clickbait, right?
Yeah.
And you tell me now. I'm going to share you some details as I know them, and you tell me moving forward. Hold on.
Before anybody says clickbait, you said that Rantanen was going to get traded from the start of the year.
Yeah.
And then the day after he got traded to Carolina, you're like, this guy's going to get traded again. Yeah. And then he does get traded again. So I think you may have a little bit of a knowledge of the situation. So I think that's proper context to the clickbait accusations. Continue.
Okay. Can we get into a little bit of detail before we get into details about Rantanen?
Very much.
Okay. He was never going to sign in Carolina. Even if Colorado refused to sign him, it was never in the cards. So some people were saying he's going to stay and he's going to learn to love this place and he's going to get a great offer. They could have offered him $20 million, and he was not staying there.
What if they had offered him Kawhi and Dine?
Do you have any indication as to why that is, Kip?
Just not a place, not a fit.
Must not be a golfer. I'd play for them in a heartbeat.
Didn't want to stay.
Okay.
Didn't want to stay. not sure if it was a good fit with even Brindamore as a coach who likes to match lines. And there's multiple reasons.
He was playing 4 minutes less a night.
It was a multiple amount of reasons, but this is where Carolina really dropped the ball, that they just were, let's say, arrogant enough to think that, like, just build it and they will come, and it doesn't work that way. So it was always from a get-go for me anyways that, you know, he's not staying there. And even to this point where Carolina kind of built it into the deal about retention on 50% from Chicago, it set it up. He was never going to stay, never.
Okay.
So that's why he's gone. So I wrote an article for the Toronto Star a week ago linking Toronto Maple Leafs to Rantanen, and it played out the way I thought it would play out. They were right in it to the point where everybody thought he was going to be a Toronto Maple Leaf.
No kidding. And yep. And they must have had some sort of noon deadline. That's when things started to move on Lawton and whatever.
So, you know, we know what the Toronto Maple Leafs did. They went and got Scott Lawton.
Yeah.
And they went and got Carlo.
Very comparable to
Nico Rantanen. Just
so, good. Yeah. No, but what basically it is when once that door shut, then they, to their credit, they had some backup here. Mm-hmm. So essentially it's Stankoven.
Yeah.
And two firsts.
And two thirds.
The Leafs had Minton, Cowan, as I understand it, and two firsts on the table.
Wow.
For Rantanen.
Two top prospects and two firsts.
Yeah.
God, they wouldn't have been able to get a D. That's their whole asset pile.
Oh, no. Basically, it was like that's their big move.
Yeah.
They could have found different ways to probably shore up a lot of things, but that was the big move. Carolina said no on the thought that they could meet the Leafs and Rantanen down the road in the playoffs. They went
really
out west.
They
did not want to run into Rantanen. They did not want to run into the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs. And they're pushing them out west.
Really?
Okay. So he was willing to sign here?
Okay, you want another one?
Yes, I want it all, baby.
What else are we doing here?
I believe that the Leafs were willing to spend anywhere between $105 and $110 million on an 8-year deal for Rantanen.
Doing the math on that, so that's, we're talking 13 and a half, 14.
We're in the ballpark of 13.
Yeah.
13 plus.
Yeah.
They were on getting this guy until Carolina said, no, we're going to Dallas.
And think how crazy, think how crazy that changes the Leafs in the offseason with Marner and his contract, with Tavares and his contract. It would change everything about what comes next for them.
Yeah, and some people have made a bigger deal out of that. And I only know the NHL the way I know it, and that is, You stay in your lane. You do what you can. Everything else is out of control. I could be sent down tomorrow. I could be traded tomorrow. Anything can happen. And I think they were fully prepared to bring Rantanen in and say to Mitch Marner, who knows what tomorrow brings? Who knows what we can look at in the summer? Maybe there's a world where we sign you and have Rantanen as well.
Right.
And when you really think about it, You are getting Tavares off the books, right, next year.
Yeah, there's 11.
So that's 11 right there.
Before the cap goes up.
So Mitch is presently at 11 now. Mm-hmm. So how much more do you have to add to get both of them together?
Right.
If you drop Tavares' 11?
Yeah, not that much more.
Not that much more.
No, it was doable.
Jesus.
But now, hold on. It does change what the Leafs have tried to be. This outscore your problems team, they would have been running out three or two of Myers, Benoit, Timmins without an additional move. The one they made, I'm not saying this is better to have Carlo and Lawton, but it would have been interesting to see how
roster
would have looked.
You're right. It's really pick your poison, right?
Yeah.
And so instead of the two first rounders now going to Carolina, they obviously one went to Boston,
yeah,
and one went to Philadelphia.
Right. That's some news. That's something.
Clickbait?
Not clickbait. Very, very fascinating.
So now that we're living in this fantasy land where that trade's accepted, to your point about maybe Treliving and Co. had a pivot to a lesser D-man that would have cost a third or a fourth as opposed to going for the Carlo who cost you one of the first that you end up spending. But hearing that, like, I'll never, ever forgive Eric Tulski, ever. Like, on my list of, like, bad blood, bad guys, you just went to the top. Because, that is what you just told me is a massive what if in Toronto Maple Leafs history. Like, you think back to all these potential trades and all these different ones, like, oh, they could have had, you know, Jeff Carter for Caberle, or what they could have done for Sundin, or what they could have done for. That just goes to the top of one of the most insane, like, sliding door moments.
But think about. For Carolina, it's not just getting him out west. They need to be able to hold their head up this year and say, we're competitive. We have a chance this year. And at least Stankoven
doesn't do that. He doesn't move that big of a needle. Well, he is
good player.
He's more serviceable than obviously Cowan or Minton.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things of having, like, assets, the Leafs had a better offer with assets.
Yeah, big picture, those are better.
And when they're out in the first round, Carolina, they're going to regret it.
Yeah, Stankoven had 24 goals in the American League last year. Like, they actually had him in the American League. So he, he hasn't had a big NHL season. He does have one playoff run with Dallas where he had 8 points in 19 games. But, yeah, he's on pace for 12 goals this year. At 22 years old. So, yeah. You're right. You'd probably rather take the Leafs assets.
Blue chip assets.
Yeah.
Four blue chip assets.
So the sense you get is that Knies, because Knies was the hot name in that conversation, that never came up, or was that something they wanted?
I believe that it would have changed it. But for the Leafs, how the world is ranting and Knies. Mm-hmm. Like, this is to try to
get to
a conference.
This much better.
You want to go that much bigger. Yeah.
We're now welcoming in our national audience who just came off of Trade Center. And now we're on two TVs in here that are going at two different times. So that's good for us. But what do you want to reset? What we just said?
They're out of luck.
I'll just say, let me just give them the rundown that the Leafs had an offer that was maybe better than Dallas's offer in Minton, Cowan, two firsts, and Carolina didn't want that deal, fear of seeing the Leafs in playoffs.
That is explosive news to me.
Well, that's fine.
I will tell you, Kipper, gonna lose sleep over that one.
All right.
Like, I will be losing some sleep.
All right. Are we now?
Probably talk about Brad Marchand getting traded.
Yeah. Like, how much stuff do we want to?
Guys, listen. The canvas is blank here. Paint.
We got Freege coming in at 5:32.
The Rantanen contract,
yes,
is less than I think most people thought it was going to be.
Once again, don't get caught up in just sheer numbers, because this world is about, to agents and players, this world is about take-home money.
Mm-hmm.
And on the surface, you go 12.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not that big of a number. Everybody was throwing around 14. But to compare it to the Toronto Maple Leafs, you would have had to go north of 13.5 to match the same 12 in Dallas.
Yeah, I saw different math on that. But still, it's like there were multiple teams who didn't want to give him, in multiple states, that didn't want to give Rantanen a big number. You know, I know Colorado made him an offer, but I don't think they went to 12.
I had heard maybe 12. I heard 11.6.
Right.
Yeah.
And Carolina, it doesn't sound like they wanted to go to 13.
If Colorado would have gotten to 12, like Dallas, he would have signed it in Colorado.
So what? They don't like him?
I don't know.
They didn't want to go to 12 for a guy?
They never went
with anything with a 12 in it, Colorado.
Last five years in the NHL, he's fourth in NHL scoring behind McDavid, Draisaitl, McKinnon. Hey,
you think Sammy's going to lose sleep over it? A lot of people in Colorado, and Rantanen loses sleep over it.
I wonder if Rantanen partially says okay to Dallas because he's okay with trying to ram it down Colorado's throat the next decade.
Excellent point by you.
Joe Sakic expected him to be in the Central 3 weeks later.
So Rantanen now was at the point, and he understands the state tax, but he couldn't sign fast enough to get this over with. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I was also told, to your point, I'm coming back in the West, and I'm going to shove it down Colorado's throat.
He's mad.
That's his attitude going back to the West.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've looked at the standings recently.
Shaping up to have a match.
There is a looming first-round matchup between those two hockey clubs.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, my God. Colorado-Dallas could be the 2-3 matchup behind Winnipeg.
So Minnesota now is clinging on to the third spot. 76 points. Colorado's tied with them, 76 points. They're ahead in points percentage, Minnesota, but they're clinging on. They're hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It really feels like there's a potential for that first-round series. Jeez.
Off the top of your head, where do you see Rantanen with,
like a Rupert? Wyatt Johnson?
Wyatt Johnson? I mean, he's a 70, 80-point guy now. He's gifted player. Rupe Hintz.
Hintz is unbelievably fast and big. He'd be, right now, Jason Robertson, Rupe Hintz, Mikko Rantanen. Whew. Then you can have, Marchand, Duchesne, Granlund, Ben Johnston, Dadonov.
Yeah.
They're good, man.
Favorites.
Just
Maverick Bork's in there.
Whoever gets out of that
first round. And Wyatt Johnson just signed. I think Elliot said something about
a five-year deal. And change.
You don't find it a little strange here? You got a young player like that, and you only give him five. We know what five has done to the Leafs, right? And Matthews never signed an 8-year deal, and a young player. You think they regret that? A shorter term deal with as much as over $8 million and an AAV.
Well,
I was a little surprised.
They just signed, and they wouldn't regret it 9 minutes later. Why? What do you think?
No. I'm saying down the road. Yeah. Right. It's a short.
For sure.
He didn't take 8 years.
Yeah.
But
they got a great break on that AAV.
If I were any of these guys, I wouldn't do the 8-year thing.
Yeah, maybe it's a trend right now. Maybe it's like I'll take my chances and see, there's no question that he signs a 5-year deal so he can negotiate in 4 years, and that 8+ turns into 12.5.
I mean,
right?
The inflation of the cap takes to 12.5. If he's any better, you're looking at 14, it is going to change quickly, I think, in the NHL.
It's nice to see another young star not sign for 8 for once. From a Leaf fan. It's nice to see somebody else
Let's get to some other trades.
Brad Marchand.
I was tempted to take him off my list. I had him on. I had just heard that there was a big pause in the negotiation and, would they trade this guy? And then it kind of grew legs, especially in the last 48 hours. I knew he was gone because Boston didn't say a word about him all day.
Yeah.
And he's been hanging out. His name's out there. And at some point I was really expecting him to say, and leak, he's not going anywhere. He's off the board.
Yeah.
And he's our captain and he's staying. And it never happened. And it was Vegas or Florida?
On our screen right now, is that all it is?
It's got to be. He's 36, what? 37.
Oh, don't try to say it's got to be. Anthony Beauvillier went for a second. How do you make Marchand equal to Beauvillier?
There's a lot of teams that were not willing to give up a first rounder for
him. This has to be Marchand saying, I'll go to Florida. If you can get something out of Florida, great, I'll go.
I don't know what happened today, especially with Carlo from the Boston Bruins being traded to the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I had heard the last day and a half, 2 days, that Boston would not trade him to the Leafs.
Carlo?
No.
Marchand.
So I don't know. He might have been a little different, you know? And like, there's a history of Toronto and Boston. So I don't know how much they would have liked to seen their captain moments later at a huge rival.
You couldn't do it.
But Boston's got a thing going with Florida too.
Sure. They had a 7-game series where Florida broke their heart just 2 years ago. But if they had 135 points and beat him in seven. They were up 3-0.
We can't pretend that Brad Marchand playing for the Florida Panthers is as offensive to the Bruins fan base as him playing for the Leafs.
It's not.
We can't even
come close to pretending those are close to the same things.
And I think
Panthers fans.
I think
yeah, the 10 of them. Yeah.
I think a while, most recently, I think the Bruins kind of felt the same way.
Yeah.
That they can get away with tucking them in Florida, but they couldn't in this market.
Even Carlo surprises me that they would trade him to the Leafs. And to me, it says, we can do the Carlo trade too now. That, I don't know, maybe they're just not that afraid of Carlo or whatever. They don't think it matters as much. But I am surprised they dealt with the Leafs. It's been a pretty contentious rivalry going back a decade. 2011, I guess, was the first heartbreak. So Marchand was surprising, just being a second for me. Him with Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk possibly is unbelievably competitive and antagonistic and talented.
Yeah. Sucks.
He does suck.
It sucks. As excited as I think a lot of Leaf fans, and I know we're on nationally, but we do Leafs show here too. As excited as a lot of people were to see the Carlo thing and Lawton's a good pickup, you're like, really? Like, of all the places he's going to go, like, I thought it was maybe going to be Vegas because they sent that weird little cryptic tweet around 3:55 or 2:55 being saying hi.
Yeah.
Thought it was going to be them.
But I will say, not that afraid of Marchand.
Oh!
Anymore. Yeah.
I do not.
I think can go down as one of the best penalty killers in the history of the game that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I think he can still do that.
Yep.
And I think he can still shoot it in the net.
Sure.
The thoughts and views of Justin Bourne do not reflect the real Kipper and Bourne.
Brad Marchand is 36 years old,
yeah,
and he is on pace for a year where he's got 47 points right now.
I think he can still hurt. He can make another team hurt.
Yeah. I know he has that drive and that competitive level, and I know he can. I just don't think it's like, they didn't get Rantanen, is my point. There's tears to this fear factor.
The other thing that was floating around, too, is if Boston trades him, it's as a rental, and you can come back and sign with us in the summer.
Yeah, that almost never happens.
Does that kind of play into a conditional second-round pick?
Maybe, if he genuinely was going to go back to the Bruins. But it sounds like if the Bruins wanted him, they would have offered him the contract that would have kept him there. Sounds like he didn't get the contract he wanted.
I think, the last thing I heard is they were close on a contract.
2x6? 3x6? 5?
Yeah, 3x.
Okay.
6.
Seems 6-1, to be like
6-5. I think he can still, if he performs anywhere close to what we still expect out of him, he's going to get that somewhere.
Yeah.
Who knew that Matthew Tkachuk getting injured at the Four Nations faceoff was the best thing that ever happened to the Panthers?
Yeah, it stinks.
Right?
Yeah, but we've always joked around with that, though. It is still a huge loophole.
What a time to get hurt.
The perfect time.
Just play all year. Take a 5-week break before playoffs.
Get healthy, get fresh.
Your 10 schmil. Load up.
It's crazy.
And yes, it's a disadvantage the first couple games, but for elite guys, the way that Kucherov, remember Kucherov's first game back?
Yeah.
He had like a goal and two assists on like power plays. God.
But he was hurt.
He's back.
Yeah.
Really good. Okay, so.
Leafs deadline. We haven't done it yet.
Leafs deadline. So, Lawton and Carlo, why don't you go first, JB?
It's exactly what I had hoped they would get. Lawton, maybe not the heights of who I had hoped they would get up front, but he's a very good 3C. I love that they got him retained, kills penalties, he's a good guy, he works hard, he's competitive. Good fit for the Leafs. That was a problem when you looked at their lineups, like Domi can't be your third line center. And then Carlo is, again, you have to accept Carlo for what he is, and if you do, he is a perfect fit for what they needed. I'm not saying he's the perfect player, I'm not saying he's a massive difference maker, I'm saying they needed a right shot guy. They needed a big guy. They needed a guy who can play 20 minutes. He defends. He has some upside to him. He hasn't defended as well recently, but he can. So to pair with Morgan Riley or even OEL, I really like the addition. You get two additional years. Retention on Lawton. I'm very happy with the deadline for the Leafs.
Yeah. You want to go?
I like both on paper a lot. I haven't watched Lawton particularly close. I've watched a lot more of Carl over his career than I have of Lawton, I'll say. I would wonder if I'm a pessimist about Carlo, why they're trading a 6'5", 28-year-old right shot D-man to your bitter rival. I would wonder aloud about that. But on paper, I do really like the idea of it, and it shores up your top four.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just,
they've been taping Labushkin or yes. Shin or whoever to Riley. Yes. And say, Carlo, he's not as physical as those guys, but he is a defense first right shot guy.
This says a lot to me about Riley, too. It's like, this is a guy. We've tried a lot of different guys.
This is like your eighth right shot D we've got you.
At some point here.
Someone's got to
take off. Thoughts?
I can't disagree with anything you've said. They are better, deeper. The only thing I say in all of that is it enough?
Yeah.
Is it enough?
Yep.
To get past a Tampa right now or a Florida? And does that leave it in the hands of your goaltending? Does it leave it in the hands of now Morgan Riley being that ace that I can control the pace of a game back there? Defenseman, does it change enough up front where you can alleviate some of the pressure of your four guys of Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and Tavares? And I think there were deeper guys. I threw Charlie Coyle on my trade board earlier this week. We saw him go to Colorado. I would have preferred him over Lawton.
That's fair.
I do, I love that there's retention on Lawton and another year. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of actually winning.
Especially at 1.5 for him.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
But winning the cup this season is going to be like winning the cup anytime with this core four group, that they have to do it. There's no one's going to step in here and do it for them. They were going to have to be great. Matthews has to be better than he's been. Marner is going to have to look like the best version of himself that he brought at the Four Nations. Willie's going to have to be the guy who we've seen in playoffs get hot. They have to do it.
Randman would have helped. Randman would have helped.
Well, yeah, sure. But behind them, now you hope Nyes is another level. Now you hope McMahon is another level. Now you hope Lawton can shoot one in. And I like their fourth line now.
Friege is outside. So we should break and then come back with Friege to get even more into this stuff.
You heard the man. He's Sammy McKee. Number one producer in all of hockey. Back with the Friege. Elliot Friedman did a terrific job all day on Sportsnet's trade deadline day. Will join us next. You're watching, listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is our trade deadline special. And this is the part where I still get to feel kind of fresh today.
Mm.
And you probably the same way.
Yeah.
But our next guest, not so much. But before we get into that, let's just give him a round of applause.
Yeah, good work, Friedman.
Elliot Friedman.
On behalf of Sportsnet.
Carrying Sportsnet right like this.
Like a backpack.
The whole world on your shoulders, my friend.
It's okay. It's, you know what, Nick, you've done the job. Like, it's, you know the job.
So, okay, did you sleep here last night?
No, I slept. We stayed across the street at a hotel.
Oh, okay.
I got about 3 hours sleep, which was more than I thought I was going to get.
I don't know how you left it last night with Rantanen.
Yeah.
Was it that it cooled off, or how did you leave it last night?
No, last night when I went to bed.
1:45, I saw a tweet.
I went to bed at 3 a.m. I went to bed last night, it was they had agreed to a trade, Carolina and Dallas, and they'd given him permission to talk about an extension. And when I heard the, I don't know exactly, but when I heard when I went to bed that they kind of had introductory hellos, and they were like, we're not going to get this sorted right now, so let's get it done in the morning. So they had a trade worked out, agreed to, and the question was, could they sign him?
And then this morning, things kind of changed a little bit. I had word that the Toronto Maple Leafs were back in it or right in it right up until the end. We saw them pivot to go to Scotty Lawton first before Carlo in Boston. But I had heard, Elliot, I don't know if you caught a bit of our show. You probably walked over.
I was walking over. I'm
that
sorry.
The Leafs really took the bat off their shoulder and offered significant pieces, but they couldn't get it done.
I do believe this. Like, it was funny. Like, I had one executive who sent me a note today saying that you have no idea how many teams in the NHL are trying to ruin this trade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, it was kind of funny. Like, I don't – someday maybe we'll find out what the full story was. But I'll say this. I think that people – it was very clear to me from what I heard last night that people believe Rantanen really wanted to go to Dallas. Now, I will say this, Nick. There was a time today for about between 30 minutes to an hour – where I thought there was a decent chance the trade might fall apart. But I think you did say over the last half hour that ultimately the player said, you know what, I want to go to Dallas, get it done.
And it really bolts to this, like, had to match Leon Draisaitl at 14, like 12, and it's like, where do I sign?
Yeah, and they gave him structure too. Like, apparently they did some real structure for it, and I haven't seen it, but they did some structure. They gave him the protection. You know, Nick, the one thing I heard yesterday was, and I don't know what the Leafs stepped up with today, but the one thing I heard last night was there was no player that Carolina thought that was as good as Stankoven. That they were offered that they liked more than Stankoven. And I'll tell you something else. So I don't know what the Leafs offered. Maybe we'll find out it over
was
time.
It was Cowan, Minton, and two firsts.
But wouldn't you take Stankoven over that?
No, I would take the assets.
You would, eh?
I'd take...
It's interesting because I would probably take Stankoven over that. I'll say the other thing too, Nick. One of the things that we learned here about Carolina is you have to be a certain type of player to fit in Brindamore's system.
Yeah.
It wasn't so easy for Rantanen. I think they felt Stankoven was a perfect fit.
To your point, though, Elliot, they needed to go back into the Carolina dressing room and look Rod Brindamore and the players in the eyes and say, I still got a player for you. Mm-hmm. The Leafs offer wouldn't do that, and it could have changed if it was Matthew Nyes, but there was nothing else that was of significance to Carolina other than him.
Mm-hmm.
And those assets weren't going to help them today.
Yes. And I think that's it. I just think he's ahead of what Toronto offered. I just heard that there was no player that they were going to get, especially if there was no guarantee that Rantanen was going to sign, that could be as impactful as Stankoven.
Now, doesn't that seem light? You know, fourth in NHL scoring over the past 4 years, 1.25 points in playoffs per game. Guy's won a Stanley Cup. He's young. He's big. Nicknamed Moose. You know, Draisaitl gets 14. Okay, Draisaitl's better than him, but it sounds like Colorado didn't want to give him 12.
Or
12 and a half.
Hold on. Let me say this. Colorado's last offer, or what we're calling an offer here, was 11.75.
Okay.
So it says to me that if the Colorado known they could have done this deal, I bet they would have done this deal. Like, you have to understand.
But they never offered anything with a 12.
No. But the thing is, if you go to 11.75 and the guy says 12, you're going to get the deal.
They didn't, Elliot.
No, hold on. We have to understand what happened here. I think this was a big eye opener for a lot of people,
including Colorado.
Colorado, Rantanen, Carolina, everybody. If you go back, Carolina gets permission to talk to Rantanen. Will you, if we trade for you, will you sign here? Yeah, I'd consider it. He doesn't think it's going to happen. He thinks it's a pressure tactic from Colorado. All of a sudden, the bomb drops. He gets traded, and he gets traded at the worst time. Carolina had one three-game homestand after he was traded. There was the Four Nations. He didn't believe it was real. And then it happens. He's in shock. He can't believe it occurs. He never gets a chance to get acclimated to Colorado. Him and the way they play, it's not a perfect fit. I think that was a big deal here. It was, I think with 2020 hindsight, this was doomed to fail from the start simply because of the way it all went down.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, for me, it's just like.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You know, these top end guys make such a difference. You know, if Rantanen wants 13, to me, it's just like, okay, we got to keep this guy. He's one of the guys we got to keep. So, yeah, surprising, though, that seems like Colorado didn't want to go too high. Seems like Carolina didn't want to go too high.
Carolina went more than this. They went 12. I think they went about 12-6.
Is that right?
That's what I think. I heard it was McKinnon.
Okay.
The other thing, too, is, like, the Dallas, I think if it would have come to it, Dallas might have walked away.
That's crazy to me.
Because they had, and I'll say this, too, what we'll never know, because someone was saying to me today was there a rejigged second deal that Dallas had on the table that if he was a rental. Like, they probably would have gone for him as a rental, but they wouldn't have done it with the same trade or Stankoven. Yeah. And so I think at the end of the day, Dallas would have said, look, if you're not signing here, and if you look at Dallas's structure, a lot of their other guys are at 8-4-5. I think 12 was the most they were willing to do. And so the player had to make a choice, and I think he made a great choice.
We're joined by Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman, fresh off trade deadline day. Elliot, probably the quantity hasn't been there like years past, but the quality, pretty darn good here.
There are a lot of good trades out there.
So tell me, where do you rank Buffalo and Ottawa with Cousins and Norris compared to maybe Marchand in Florida? You tell us, where do you want to go?
Well, I think Marchand was the most surprising one because it came right under the buzzer. It was a bit of a surprise. I know people had speculated it, but he's also the biggest name.
I had him on my list.
Yeah.
I was tempted to take him off earlier this week. I said, no, something's just not right.
You're
here.
Right.
And I kept him on. Please tell me how the captain of the Boston Bruins is not signing an extension right now. Like, where is the image of trading your captain
for Anthony Pizzoli's return
compared to a conditional second rounder?
Yeah, you know what, guys? I think happened was, I think they had a significant disagreement on the AAV. I think it was a wide gulf that was just not going to get bridged.
How wide do you think it was?
I would guess over $1 million a year. That's what I would guess. Like, I heard it was not.
It's not enough money for me. Like, okay, we'll go up 500. You come down 500, and we call it a day.
You know, I have to say this. I think it's one of those things, Nick and Justin. You too. Like, you guys have played at a high level. You understand dynamics, okay? So the Bruins are they're thinking, okay, this is our captain. We want to be loyal to him, but we want to pay for future performance, not past performance.
Sure.
Brad Marchand is on a contract that was a little under market value. Now look at what's happened over the last couple of years. Pasternak gets paid, McAvoy gets paid, Hampus Lindholm gets paid, Zadorov gets paid, and you're like, okay, I'm the captain of this team. You know, it's my turn. And like, you guys both play at a really high level. You know the alpha male pride nature of a room. It stings. Mm-hmm. It stings. And I think he was stung. And I think the Bruins just said. Now, I think at the end of the day, he didn't have a lot of trade protection. But they wanted to send him to a place where he wanted to go. And secondly, you know, he's hurt. Like, that's the other thing that affected the trade value is he might be out until right before the playoffs. So I think that was a factor, too. But I think they worked hard to get him to a place. I think Colorado was around it, but they went for the two centers. I think Dallas would have been around it if Rantanen hadn't worked out. There had been a lot of rumors about Vegas. I don't know where that ended up. But look, like, you guys, Gregory Campbell, Sean Thornton, those guys won cups with him. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that he was comfortable with that. I just think it's one of those situations where we want to write the final chapter of our careers. We don't often get to write the final chapter of our careers.
Earlier, I had Josh Norris on my trade board.
You did really well with your board,
thank you,
by
buddy.
The way.
Really I appreciate well. That. Really thank well. You. So I had him on. It cooled off. Like an idiot, I took him down. and then he gets moved. That one got away from me, but yep. It was always out there about Josh Norris on how comfortable Ottawa was, especially around his recent injuries, the surgeries, and true enough, they move him to Buffalo. What can you tell us about that deal?
Well, first of all, you know what blew me away was watching Brady Tkachuk today. Like, oh, that was a tough scrum, man.
You know, we're going to talk about Brady Tkachuk, but it's been tough watching him be Captain America and then having him see the anthem get booed in Ottawa and seeing his best friend get shipped out. Just like, oh, God, like, hope this guy's comfortable in Ottawa.
So just tell us about the parameters and maybe we'll have time to get into
I think in that particular, like, I think they talked to a few teams. I think they talked to Vancouver,
too.
I think they talked to Seattle.
About Norris.
Yeah, I think they talked to Nashville. You know, Cousins, his name has been out there all year.
Yeah,
again, Vancouver, Nashville, Montreal, Calgary, you know, and I think we were all just waiting for Kevin Adams to do it. And he said it was going to be for NHL players. And I don't know, did you guys hear Ray Ferraro last night?
Yes, yeah, I did.
Like, wow. Like, I just wonder if that was like the final straw, like the Sabres and their fans saying, you know, we have to do something here. I think Dylan Cousins badly needed a change of scenery.
Yeah.
I think he needed a new challenge, a new situation, and he's going to get it. And I think it was need for need. One player needed to change, another player needed to change, and that's how they ended up where they are.
Yeah. Any more on that?
No, I'm good.
Toronto Maple Leafs?
I like the Carlo deal.
Yeah.
I did not see that one coming.
No.
Lawton, I saw coming.
I didn't think the Bruins would trade with the Leafs.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was talking to, I think this generation is a little bit different. They're like, I'll take my best trade.
They're also not going to be in the playoffs.
Well, I'll take my best trade. But I was surprised the Carlo one. I think he's exactly what Toronto needs. Yeah. The Lawton one, I think Toronto, it'll be interesting to see if we find out over the next 24 to 48 hours. Did Toronto simply get scared by the price on Braden Schenn, or did he indicate he wasn't willing to move? Because I think there were a couple situations he indicated he wasn't willing to
move.
Might have
been a combination of both.
Yeah.
And it was just probably left too late as well.
But doesn't it feel like it worked out for the better for the Leafs to have shorter term on a guy, less cap hit? It's a very similar role.
Yeah.
I understand that Schenn has another level of maybe physicality to him, but not that much.
I think is the difference between Lawton and Schenn so large that you look at the price and say maybe that was the right decision?
Totally. Would rather have Lawton.
And then you could go get Carlo too, because you saved it.
I hear Brock Nelson was also high on Tree Living's list.
Mm-hmm.
He lost out that bid to Colorado and Lou.
I gotta tell you,
Lou went with Colorado.
Would anybody have outbid Colorado there?
No. No, they paid.
They went after. Yeah.
That was a big price.
It was a big price.
I got to tell you, though, Islanders fans are not particularly happy. They're happy with that return. They love that return.
Yeah.
But they're not happy with the idea that there wasn't really a cohesive plan for the Islanders. Had Lou been able to re-sign Nelson, it sounds like he would have.
He tried
to re-sign him.
On a short-term deal.
Yeah. Yes. But the thing is, he's gonna be 34. I don't know how long.
I think he can get 4 years.
He might. Three or four years. You're right. Like, I'll tell you this, that there was a report today. I think it was Andrew Gross. I think he reported 3x7.5 was the offer to Brock. Someone told me, like, in overall dollars, it might have even been more than that. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
There's also talk that
how do they
maybe
not get other players?
Brock Nelson wouldn't go to Toronto or Winnipeg, and I don't buy that for one second.
Really?
I don't think Toronto or Winnipeg were his first choice.
Yes.
But if Colorado wouldn't have been able to do it, he would not have blocked Toronto or probably Winnipeg.
I would have loved to have seen Toronto or Winnipeg beat that deal. Like, I'd like to see anyone beat that deal.
I don't know that you have the assets.
Yeah.
You know,
like, Winnipeg has good prospects, but that Callum Ritchie, he's the real deal, man.
Colorado going all in and then getting Coyle. You know, I can't move past, I understand that Colorado's going all in, but I can't get over Boston going all out.
So they won 62 games 2 years ago. I think there's five guys left on that
from
team.
From that 62-in team?
Yeah.
And they're 3 points. I understand that they're not a cup contender, but they're 3 points out of a playoff spot right now. To give up on Frederick, Coyle, Marchand, Carlo, I mean, Brazeau.
Yeah.
Didn't want to waste 8 days.
You know, you're right. And it long-term for the franchise, it's the right thing. But I'm talking about the Islanders.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep Nelson. They keep Palmieri and want to re-sign him. He's 34. They're keeping Pageot.
Yeah.
You know,
Pageot, you can still move, though. Like I'm wondering, Justin, it's too early to figure out what the trends are here. But, you know, a guy who's signed for $5 million with the cap going up, I don't think his value is going down.
Pageot's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
that's fair.
You know, like I don't
depending on his play.
Exactly. Like I don't think the value is going away.
Who would be on your list of? I'm kind of surprised didn't move. Do we start in Vancouver?
Yeah,
that's where you start.
I think that Besser, absolutely. Suter, like centers are people need centers.
Mm-hmm. I like him.
Yeah, I like Suter a lot too. I really like his game. I would love to know. I would love to see a call log of Kevin Cheveldayoff the last 2 weeks because I'm sure he's tried to go after as much as he could. You know, that Winnipeg has the challenge of the no trade clauses, but I have no doubt they tried. I would say also, you know, I was a bit surprised. Ryan Donato, nothing happened.
Yeah.
This guy's got, 20 goals, even strength this year?
Right.
Now, I heard they talked about an extension with him, so we'll see if that goes anywhere.
I also heard for Connor Murphy they were not willing to retain, and I don't even know where they are on any of that, if they even had room.
They can't. They can't. They had three full spots.
Okay, so it's gone.
Right.
And that's a challenge in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Look around the room. Everybody needed help.
Yeah. An interesting deadline deal in that, because so many teams were in it, so many teams were willing to put chips in, prices went up.
Yeah.
Luke Shen got traded for by the Leafs for a third a couple of years ago. He got 2 years older. His salary doubled at least.
Yeah.
And he went for a second and a fourth this year.
Dumoulin yesterday.
Right.
Second and a third.
Right.
Or second and a prospect, yeah.
Pavelier a second.
Pavelier
How about Kuzmenko
a second.
Gets a third?
Kuzmenko got a third. Yeah, big prices. I'll say this too, like, the Rangers are sitting there with a whack of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are they going to be doing?
They were a weird team during this whole thing. Like, I remember years ago, St. Louis was going for cups, and they still traded Shattenkirk and Stastny.
Yeah.
I felt like they were doing that, but they held on to Kreider.
Yeah, Kreider's got
the back injury issue, right?
Yeah. That could have shut him down.
Yeah, maybe. I wonder. But, like, that first-round series, like Colorado-Dallas.
How about Tampa Bay, Florida?
Yeah,
if the Leafs get hot.
What if those two teams play against each other? I mean, it's gonna be brutal.
The 2-3 in both.
Like those teams are gonna have nothing left for round two.
No.
After it's done.
So you guys just gonna go home and just
No, we gotta work. We gotta work tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
It's Saturday.
It's Saturday night. They have
a show tomorrow.
Every Saturday.
Take a day off.
I'll take some days off next week.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm staying at the hotel tonight.
So. Attaboy.
Just fall into bed.
Well,
like
listen,
ooze.
We sure appreciate your efforts. As you said earlier, I know what it's like firsthand to pick up the phone and go.
You have figured it out very well.
Please,
Nick.
Tell me something now.
I have to
it's
say,
hard.
Nick, you have figured it out very well. You do it when you want to. You drop it here and there.
Buddy, no expectations.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna set out an earthquake with this tweet, and then I'm just gonna go away and say, you know, I'm not an insider anymore. Like, I can't wait till
it
I get
is.
To that point.
You know what it is?
Really.
It's called like semi-retired.
Yeah, semi-retirement.
You're
gonna
hit that soon enough. But we're glad you have not aged enough to get to where I am. So, again, terrific job.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for a decent rest.
And we're happy to see you again tomorrow night.
I look forward to the return of the 2026 Nick Kiprios trade board.
Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada on one of the biggest days in hockey. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we return, it really goes off the rails with Doug McClain. What does he think about the Boston Bruins? More when we return after these words.